Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Great to have you with us on Friday. We'll be live in Wildwood at the pier. It's going to be a great day. We've got our Save Jersey, Make Jersey Red Rally. I don't exactly know what we're calling it. Return to the Wildwoods. I don't know. But all I know is this. I'll be doing the show live from there. It's going to be a beautiful day outside. We got a lot of great speakers, more being announced every day. And Jack Cittarelli will be there, and we will make him the next governor of New Jersey. So I hope you'll join us. You can sign up right at 1210WPHG.com. You can go to Mulligan's beforehand. Dom's going to be there and get a pork roll, egg and cheese sandwich and start your day on a very positive note. All right. Now, we'll get into what happened today with the U.S. Senate. There was a lot of back and forth with the Attorney General Pam Bondi. But the big takeaway is that we're learning now that as part of Operation Arctic Frost, Republican senators were spied on by the special counsel in relation to January 6th, which, of course, is known as the High Holy Day of the Left. So why did this happen? What was he looking for? And I mean, I remember the good old days when we were just spying on people like Carter Page and George Papadopoulos. We never imagined that the Justice Department would be spying on United States senators. And if the shoe was on the other foot, as they say, if the Trump administration was spying on Democrat senators, could you imagine the screams of authoritarianism and fascism and everything else? Could you imagine what you would be hearing out there in the streets? I mean, it would be nonstop on CNN, nonstop on MSNBC, nonstop. And It would be the kind of thing where they would say, and you'd have to drink every time you heard this, worse than Watergate. Yep, worse than Watergate. And I also, too, think that this notion of the executive branch of government spying on the legislative branch of government in and of itself is repulsive. But to do it to eight of them, eight senators. And the president called Jack Smith a sleazebag for doing this. One of those senators went on Fox News earlier today, and she just said she was shocked. She couldn't believe it. And she was spied on by Jack Smith. And then they asked her, what do you think of the president calling him a sleazebag? She said he is a sleazebag. Absolutely is a sleazebag for doing this. It's just the weaponization of government. But we're supposed to believe that the real threat is National Guard troops being sent to cities where there's all this urban unrest, because as they said on The View today, those National Guard soldiers are actually there so that we can't have an election. Huh? I mean, that was a question I asked yesterday on the show. What's the end game here? And apparently that's it. The National Guard is being deployed to these Democrat cities so that we can't have an election, which is not until 2028. So they're going to be camping out there for a really long time. It's a long way to go. I assume they mean the presidential election. But even if it's for midterms, that's a long time. That's not for another year. They're just going to be there the whole time? Do they get bathroom breaks? Nap time? Do they get snacks? Do they get to swap in and swap out? High five somebody else to come in and just man the city while they're waiting to eventually then make sure people can't vote in the upcoming election that's 13 months away? I'm just trying to understand the playbook here. I really am. Or it's to just get us so comfortable with them being in cities, they just kind of hide like Br'er Rabbit in the briar patch. They just wait for 3 years. Just wait. Do nothing for 3 years. And then tell everybody there's no election. I don't know. What about the primary? Can we have the primary? Do they have the primary election? What if they're in places that the primary election really doesn't matter? Like, in other words, if you're really looking to stop the election, wouldn't you start sending the troops to South Carolina and New Hampshire and Iowa? I mean, that's probably where you want them to be. If all of a sudden the National Guard shows up at the shed in Iowa, which is one of the must-go-to stops along the way in the presidential race, and you go, okay, I guess they're here to make sure that there won't be a primary election? And then you go to that little town in New Hampshire that always votes first for president. And so like 7 people live there or something, 13 people, whatever it is. I don't. They always say that that town is the bellwether for America. It's like a dozen people. Maybe that town. They just seize that town, and then nobody's allowed to vote, and then they don't have an election. Because we can't obviously announce the results until we know how the town of Bumble Blank, New Hampshire voted, obviously. The first in the nation election. So I'm just throwing it out there. If the playbook is, because I know people from the White House listening to the show, if the playbook really is an authoritarian takeover to prevent a presidential election 3 years from now, they should send them to the primary state. Because if you, Portland, Oregon, Oregon's not going to decide the primary, you know what I mean, for the Democrat Party? So it's not going to decide the presidential election either. That's a blue state. So then you probably want to send the National Guard to the swing states. So you can't have elections there, I would guess. I don't know. I really don't know how any of this works, because it's so stupid to even try to fantasize about this. And we've always had an election, and we've never not had an election, even in war. Even when we had a civil war, we still had a presidential election. I'm just trying to understand the mechanics of all this and how that works. And did the National Guard soldiers go polling place by polling place and confiscate the machines on their way to being put out? Or do they go and, again, it's all very strange, but that's what we're supposed to believe. So, or you could think that maybe they're there to just help fight crime and to have a law enforcement presence so that people can attack federal law enforcement officers who are doing federal law enforcement, and the National Guard's there as per federal law to make sure that they're just able to do their job. Or it could be that, yeah, which is a lot easier to explain in your mind, connect the dots. That's a lot easier than the idea that we're going in 3 years ahead of time. That's a head start, baby. That's a big head start. Make sure there's no election in November of 2028. Just let them hang out for 3 years in blue cities where we know the vote's going to go the Democrats anyway. So we've already kind of baked that cake in. But hey, what the heck? You know what I mean? What the heck? We baked that cake. We know they're Democrat cities, but we just... I don't know. I'm not, again, I don't know how that really works. I want to play their little games. I do. I want to play their little fantasy games, their little cosplay authoritarian fascist takeover games. I do. It sounds fun. And I wish I was more creative. Maybe I'll ask Jack Carr how it could work when I'm with him Monday for our Politics and Pints. Today's the day his book Cry Havoc is out today. And if you're not watching Dark Wolf on Amazon Prime, you're missing out. Oof, man, is it good. It is so good. Terminalist Dark Wolf. Taylor Kitsch plays Ben Edwards, Chief Edwards, who is Reeser's best friend. It's great. So good. But anyway, I'll talk to Jack about all these things. Maybe he can help conjure, because he's a very creative guy. Obviously, number one international best-selling author and the guy behind the Terminalist series on Amazon Prime and Dark Wolf. And they got the Terminalist sequel coming out. They're shooting that in Budapest, I think. Right now, I think. In Paris and other places around the world. So they're underway with that. I'll ask him, help me conjure up this little cosplay fantasy where the National Guard goes into the cities. And Matt, that's on Grabian. And if you can grab that for me, the ladies on The View fantasizing about this. I want to be more creative in thinking about these kind of things, because I would imagine they stay up late at night truly coming up with these scenarios. But in my mind, if it's me, and my secret plan is to have the troops go in to not allow an election to occur, I'm going to do it at the last minute, not 3 years ahead of time. I'm going to do it 3 weeks ahead of time. You know what I mean? Maybe 3 days. Maybe 3 hours before the polls close, but I'm not doing it 3 years ahead of time. That's a whole lot of time. That's a long time. The attention span alone is just too long. But I digress. The other issue of the resistance by the Democrats, too, it's the shutdown, which continues. There's a polling memo out today from Chuck Schumer's little pack saying the Democrats are winning on the messaging of this. Winning where? I'm trying to understand this. Where are they winning? I don't think the American people understand why the hell the government shut down, other than it's obvious Democrats want to oppose Trump. And something about giving health care to illegal immigrants. That's all people hear. People pay attention to those headlines. And unless you are as invested in this as we are, that's all you hear. And then you turn around and go, I don't really even get this. It's boring. It's a boring shutdown. But if your goal is to, yeah, I mean, is the Subaru NPR crowd happy right now? I guess. Yeah, I'm sure there's a soccer mom right now cruising around in the Subaru. And she's thinking to herself as she listens to NPR, man, we are winning. We are winning. But I don't think they're winning. I think if anything, it's just a situation right now where, I see captions. What's that about? Do you see those captions, Justin? Or am I seeing that? Yeah. Or is that just me on my monitor?
Oh, that's on Zoom.
On Zoom, it's transcribing everything I'm saying?
Yeah, I looked over and saw it, and it showed up for a second. I guess it went away, but I did see the closed captioning for a second there.
Wow, that's a cool feature. So I can make a transcript of all this.
Yeah, in theory, you should be able to.
Oh, I didn't even ask it to do that. It just started doing it on its own.
Yeah.
Oh, AI, you're tricky. You're a little squiggly, aren't you? You're a little squirrely. I just want to make another observation, too. And that is that if the goal here is to take over these cities, to take them over, and you're the president of the United States, what does it get you? Like, I understand taking Paris. Like, I get that. You know what I mean? Like, if I conquer Paris and I've extended my territory, I've extended my power, I see that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't want it. I don't really want Paris, but I'm saying, like, theoretically speaking, you know what I mean? Like, if I'm the king of England and I sack Rome, you know what I mean? Like, I've expanded the empire. Okay. Constantinople and whatnot, all that, you know, but what do I get as president having the National Guard in a city that's already part of my country? Even though the city didn't vote for me, it's still part of my country. I haven't expanded my powers. I haven't expanded my borders. I don't really know what I've gained from this. It's sort of like putting an addition on your house. Like, okay, great. You got more space. You got to pay for it. Property taxes may go up. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't, but I just don't know what it gets you. It's a difference between putting an addition on your house and then moving to another town. I mean, if the president was like, I want to conquer Portland and I want to have that as the new capital of the United States, I want to move the White House and everything, and I want to be in Portland. I think people are trying to make, first of all, why? And secondly, I mean, I'm sure we can probably make that work by subleasing in a federal office building. Like, I don't think we have to even take it over. I think we just probably get a landlord. You know what I mean? Well, I want to own it. All right, well, then we could buy a building. And then I want a big White House. All right, well, we could buy that, too. I mean, we don't have to really invade and conquer a city. We could even use eminent domain. I mean, we could do that if we wanted. Like, if we wanted to, if the federal government was like, nope, we're not paying for it unless we have to under the Constitution taking clause. But I'm taking that big White House on a hill, and I'm calling it the Portland White House. I want it, and that's that. And we go through all the legal court processes, and because it'd be a whole lot easier than having troops go and just take a house to be the White House. You know what I'm saying? Like, it'd be a whole lot easier just for the government to condemn it and say, we're taking this and then fight it out in court over a legal battle over whether or not eminent domain applies here and that sort of thing. It'd get a little messy with the legal briefs and whatnot, but the lawyers always win, and I feel like they would appreciate that more. And then at that point, you could say, all right, now we have control of this White House in this city. But it's still part of America, and it was a city that was part of America beforehand. I think if you really want to be an authoritarian fascist dictator, I think you take Toronto. And that's me. You know what I'm saying? You take Toronto. It wouldn't be hard. It would not be hard in the league. Or Montreal, Quebec. I mean, it's a nice city. It's going to be a little cold up there soon, but it's pretty cold up there now. But you could take it. I don't think you'd have to work very hard either. Take Cancun. We could take Cancun. We could take Cancun in a couple hours, I think. I think we could probably just take Cancun. I don't even think they put up a fight. They'd be like, fine. You want to annex Cancun? Like, that's totally cool. But I think that's probably what authoritarian fascists do, is expand the territories into places they don't have control over, not places they already do. You know what I mean? Like, technically speaking, the federal government has a presence already in Portland, Oregon. Now, they could buy a building, they could lease a building, they could buy a road. There's federal roads, there's federal office buildings, there's federal officers and federal employees, and there's probably a division of the FBI, Secret Service, IRS, ATF, Customs and Border Patrol. There's a lot of federal property in Portland right now as we speak. I don't know about Toronto, so I feel like Dictator 101 playbook is you take a city that's not in your territory, on your turf, not one you already have. Again, it's why the left's little cosplay authoritarian takeover fantasy doesn't work, because in all the games I've ever played as a kid, in all the shooter games, in all the war games, Contra and whatnot, and you know Contra was a great one, the whole goal is always to take over territory you don't have. And what good is it to President Trump if he's like, I'm taking over the new executive office building across the street? Like, it's already yours. It's boring. You want to take over the prime minister's residence in Canada. That's what you want to do. You want to take over the Mexican consulate in Mexico, which would just be probably just, you know, the like the president's house there. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what you want to do. Not one of your own cities. Just a low-energy dictator fascist authoritarian from the dictator fascist authoritarian playbook. Maybe with Jack Carr, we'll come up with some more imaginative circumstances and scenarios by which the president is really taking over and seizing control and seizing power. But until then, I think it's probably going to be a big letdown for people. Like the last several years of Trump's presidency have been a letdown to the left, because they had their hopes up that he was in bed with Vladimir Putin, that it was Russia collusion, that he was there because he was some sort of Russia puppet. He was going to prison. It was any moment now. It was worse than Watergate. This was the end. The end is near. And he was going to be in handcuffs and hauled off. And they had their hopes dashed so many times. So now they're putting all their hopes on this, the great takeover of American cities. And I just feel like they're going to be let down again. And I don't know. Maybe it's a little Italian guilt. Like, you guys have been through so much on the left. You've had so many letdowns. You've had MSNBC and The View get your hopes up so many times. I mean, how many times can crazy Larry O'Donnell get your hopes up that this is worse than Watergate and this is the fascist takeover for you to find out that really, you know what I mean? Like, So part of me, and maybe this is a sense of noblesse oblige, part of me really just kind of wants to let the left know that it's, you're getting your hopes up again. You're going to be let down, and it's going to be sad for you when it's just a normal election and for midterms and a normal election for president in 2028. Because you know who really wants an election in 2028? Every Republican not named Donald Trump, who's eligible to run for president and wants to run for president and become president, as they already start raising money and hiring campaign operatives and strategizing their playbook for 2028. Those are all the people that want to make sure there is an election in 2028. Like, you know who wants an election in 2028? Ted Cruz, Rand Paul, Marco Rubio, J.D. Vance. I could go on. There's a long list of them. Just on our side. Then there's all the Democrats that want an election, but they obviously have no power. So, you know, there's all that. There's that, too. So let's say, worst case scenario, I'm way off here, and Trump's goal really is to have the troops stay there for 3 years, get everybody used to seeing him, and then they go, ha ha, I gotcha, and then start seizing election machines. I think at that point, when I'm a presidential candidate and I've got all this money raised and I've got this team, I'm suing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm suing at this point. I've won delegates. I'm on the pathway to get the Republican nomination for president. If that happens, and maybe it's a general election and I'm the Republican nominee and I'm really close to becoming the president, I'm probably going to court with the Democrats and probably suing over this too. I would imagine. Just saying. Throwing it out there. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe people really don't like running and becoming president of the United States of America. But it just seems in our 250 years, we've always had an election because the founders understood one of the primary things that will motivate the presidency is people wanting it. And if it's open to anybody and not something that you have to have by bloodline, it's going to ensure that elections actually do occur, because the nature of human nature is that we want to try and get more power. So, and if there's a mechanism to keep the people in power from hanging on to it indefinitely, then the course will happen where other people's ambitions will overrule their ambitions, because legally speaking, they have the right to do so. Which is probably why in our 250 years of being America, we've never missed one. Anyway, it could be fun though. Let's write this book. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. We'll talk to Jack Carr about this Monday night at our Politics and Pints. It's going to be a lot of fun. Get your tickets today, 1210WPHG.com. And also sign up for Friday, our live show on the pier in Wildwood, our Save Jersey, Take Back New Jersey, Make New Jersey Red, Return to the Wildwoods. Awesome day. Great day. Get Jack Ciccarelli elected day on Friday. All those things for you. And that's the Big Story of the Hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Veneria, Veneria Dental. Two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Vanaria, VeneriaDental.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yes, we had some issues with the YouTube stream, but it is working now. So you can watch the show on YouTube if you like. Join the fun. Join the chat. Join the chit-chat. YouTube.com at 1210 WPHD. Subscribe and watch the shows and all that fun stuff and chat with your friends and all those things. Justin, you could just buy Odyssey. I mean, that's an option.
Buy it from George Soros.
Yeah, why not? You know?
I don't know if I can go band for band with George Soros. I can't lie to you.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
I mean, looking at my paycheck every 2 weeks, might take me a couple years to catch up to what Soros will be able to put down.
I understand. I do. I get it. There's a lot of things I don't understand why things keep breaking, but they keep breaking. Things just break.
It's like I always say, it's not a day at Odyssey if something's not in the process of breaking, or broken.
See that? Breaking, broken, or breaking. You know what I don't understand either, Matt DeSantis? Welcome to the party, by the way. I got a very lovely text from your girlfriend, Linda Kearns, today.
What did Linda have to say?
Linda sent me a nice text this morning, and she said the following. In all seriousness, people do tell me they saw you on Fox News, not just my mom. You are killing it. You get better every time, which I guess implies that I wasn't good before. I am really happy for you. You provide the perfect mix of good, solid information and entertainment to keep people interested. Very nice text. What is she buttering me up for? Is this before the subpoena comes to the House? Is that what that is?
I don't know, but that's an uncharacteristically kind text from Linda Kern. I mean, she's always nice to me in the group text, but typically not so pleasant towards you. Usually,
I know.
She's just offending me. Yeah, so I don't know. I'd be worried.
Wondering who stole her phone, basically. Here's what I don't understand. You know that morning show that's on the radio station, Kale and Company?
I've heard of it.
Okay. They play, they have a segment there called What's on the Cut Sheet, where they present a variety of audio clips. You may have heard of that segment.
Yeah. Familiar, yes.
Familiar with it, right? I used to do that segment when I was the host of the morning show on this radio station, 1210 WPHT. Anyway, this morning, the executive producer of the show, slash co-host, slash brand manager, slash Darth Stocker, slash corporate shill, Greg Stocker, as part of his What's on the Cut Sheet, which is a segment that used to be 15 minutes, which I understand now runs for an average of 15 hours, if I'm not mistaken, I believe.
It goes on for a while. I know when I filled in for Greg, I think it was last year, I thought it was like a 15-minute segment, and I think it ended up going like 45 minutes the one day. I almost ran out of material.
Yeah. Well, I got in the car today to meet a friend of mine for breakfast, and they were going through cuts, and that was at 8:30. So if they started it at 7:30-ish, 7:45... they're already on 45 minutes of cuts right there, just before they even got to me getting in the car. So I get in the car this morning, and they got Matt Rooney on. You might have heard of him from Save Jersey. You know that guy, Matt Rooney. And he's telling this. He asks the question, am I even real? Do I really exist, or am I just AI? Which is a little jab, because I don't go to the studio very often, you know, because of my Fox News travels and whatnot. You know, like tomorrow night, I got to do the show remote. I'll be in studio tomorrow, but Thursday, I'm doing a fundraiser for Chitterelli, so I'm going to be remote doing the show. And then Friday, we're down on the boardwalk, so I got all these things going on. Anyway, then they start chit-chatting, and so Stocker plays a clip of Scott Pressler on Fox and Friends talking about the New Jersey governor's race from yesterday on Fox News. Now, don't you think, and let me just throw this out there, wouldn't it have been better to play a clip of another WPHT host on Fox News talking about the New Jersey governor's race instead of a guy who doesn't work at this radio station and doesn't have a radio show on this radio station? Like, wouldn't it be better if hypothetically speaking, you had one of your hosts on Fox News the same day as Scott Pressler on a different show talking about the same topic, same race? Wouldn't you play a clip of that to help promote the show and promote the host versus some dude who doesn't work for you and doesn't have a show on your station and advertisers to promote and giving that guy free publicity, hypothetically speaking?
Speaking, I did that. I had this hypothetical host on a hypothetical show live.
Yes, you did. When you were producing Dawn's show. Yes, you did. Yeah, but I'm talking about Stocker, hypothetically, playing Scott Pressler, who was on the show before me, because I was on America's Newsroom, talking about the same topic, the race in New Jersey. But there's a difference between me and Scott Pressler. There's several differences. One, I'm not long-haired. Number two, he does have fabulous Fabio-like hair. Two, I work here. I do work here. Even though I'm not here, I do work here. Technically speaking, I work here. I report to Greg Stocker. He's my direct report. It's in the Odyssey flowchart. I looked it up. It goes Greg Stocker, David Yagaroff, George Soros. That's the hierarchy right there. It's 1, 2, 3. So Scott Pressler, who doesn't work here, doesn't have a show, goes on Fox News and goes on about Jack Chitterelli. Can't even pronounce his name right, by the way, but that's neither here nor there. Calls him Chatterelli, which is fine. I'm not going to nitpick. It's fine. It's totally fine. But you've got one of your hosts on Fox News talking about the same friggin' race. You don't play that. You don't play that clip, which would promote the show and the host and promote the station and show the advertisers and the audience, wow, one of our hosts is also on national television making national news talking about the same freaking thing as Scott Pressler, but doing it in a much different manner. I'm just saying. And a shorter clip, because this is what I said on Fox News yesterday. This is a minute versus the 3 minutes of Scott Prusser that I had to listen to as I was driving to have breakfast today. And then I had to listen to the great pork roll debate on the morning show and whether or not they like pork roll. That riveting conversation lasted 15 minutes. And several times today, I thought about, if I open my door while I'm driving and I fall on the highway, do I instantly die or do I need to also be like run over by a truck? How does that work? Those were the thoughts that were going through my mind. You know what I mean? And I don't know the answer to that. Does it depend on the rate of speed, or do you have to be crushed to death after you fall out of the speeding car at 75 miles an hour on 295? Do you know what I mean? Or do you just instantly hit the pavement and boom, you're dead? These are the thoughts I had going through my head. Here's me on Fox News yesterday, not Scott Prusser, since I work here and I'm a talk show host on 1210 WPHD. Take a listen.
Look, Trump only lost Jersey by 6 points. I actually think he should come and help. I think if he comes out, you will generate Republican turnout in an off year. Jack is leading right now. I think these polls are not reflecting accuracy because in 2021, the polls had Murphy up by double digits and Jack almost won. Look, the reality is 400,000 Republicans stayed home. They are the key to this victory. And a lot of those Republicans vote for Trump and don't come out for other races. So if the president comes in, he energizes that MAGA base and they come out and vote. But I'm telling you right now, this race is over. Jack is going to win because Mikey Sherrill said today she doesn't eat pork roll. That is sacred in New Jersey. Pork roll versus Taylor ham, you can debate it, but you better eat it.
Now, was that so freaking hard? No, it was not. That was not that hard to do. You know, you take a break from staring at Kale's man toes for a second, you play that clip. Done. Not that complicated, Matt DeSantis. Not that complicated at all.
I rarely agree with you, but, you know, if they're going to play 100 clips on that morning show, they might as well use one of our very own Rich Scioli.
Now, Margaret says, when I'm on Fox News, you never have them label you as a 1210 WPHD host. That's not up to me. That's up to them. But everybody knows where I am. I don't control the thingy on the bottom. I don't do that. What am I supposed to do? Break into the control room, push the guy aside who's typing the Chiron, and shove him aside and go, hey, put this down instead. That's what I should do. Hold them hostage, like in that movie. What was that movie? I don't know if it was a movie.
Oh, the one with George Clooney. I know what you're talking about.
Yes. Was it Clooney?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. You take control of the... It would also be hard to do. Yeah, I mean, the segment's only like 3 minutes, so if I did that, I probably missed a hit. You know what I mean? I'd be in there wrestling with the guy, taking control of the keyboard, typing up my title, and then they'd be like, all right, missed it. Damn it. Son of a. All right. Well, that concludes our what's on the cut sheet for today. I'm not actually legally, I can't say that.
No, we'll get sued.
We'll get sued, right, if we say that? Well, I, for one, love pork roll. Greg Stocker does not. I say it is the breakfast of champions. It's delicious. Pork roll, egg, and cheese with the pork roll slice nice and thin, and you get it a little crispy, get it a little brown. Mmm, beautiful. That's the way you got to do it. I once went to a place, though. They didn't grill the pork roll. I think they, I don't know what they did. I microwaved it maybe or something, but it wasn't, you got to char it. You know what I mean? Yeah, no, it was bad. It was a disgrazia. It was bad.
That's gross.
Yeah. Did you ever go to a place and you order pork roll and they give you Canadian bacon because they have no idea what you're talking about? Like Mikey Sherrill, like, you know, in Virginia, for example. They get Canadian bacon. That is the lowest energy bacon. They shouldn't even, by law, call it bacon.
It's just ham.
Yeah. It's so low energy. But I think I'm going to live forever because of the pork roll. I think pork roll with all the nitrates and nitrites... Nitrates and nitrites. Don't forget, you get both. You get the double hit right there. I think that superpowers me. You know, I give those people that swim in the East River and wind up living to be like 116, or the woman who drink, she's like 112, and they go, what's your secret? And she goes, I drink whiskey every day. I go, oh, wow, okay. So that'll be my secret. When I'm 112 years old, they'll go, what did you do, Mr. Scioli? We're just so curious how you made it to be 112 years old, being such a specimen of health. And I'll say, I ate pork roll every single day. That and the dunk tank at the Children's Families Behind the Bad, Children's Foundation, Bike Run, Bend to the Shore, Bike Race several years ago when I went in that disgusting, filthy vat of water and came out and then ate pork roll because that also conditioned me to be able to withstand anything. Like Swamp Thing, swimming in radioactive Jersey waste, kind of the same thing. I think all those things prepare you. That and radon gas, too, which I inhaled a lot of as a child. A lot of that. So, yeah, I'm going to live forever. It's going to be fun. And you should come out and see us in Wildwood on Friday. Enjoy the nice fresh air. And stop by Mulligan's on your way down and grab a pork roll, egg, and cheese sandwich and catch Dom Giordano's show. Then head over to see our show live on the boardwalk in North Wildwood. It's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a great day. And even though I don't like to give Stocker any credit, he is actually making sure that we can do a live broadcast that day because I didn't know how it was going to work, but it turns out we got an engineer and everything. And Justin's even coming. Justin, you're coming to Wildwood to engineer the thing because Matt DeSantis isn't anywhere around here.
This is true. Somebody doesn't want to fly back from Arizona, so I have to step up and be the Matt DeSantis in Wildwood on Friday.
Oh, he's in Arizona, not Cape Cod this time, Matt DeSantis?
I've been traveling a lot recently. I was in Seattle over the weekend, but I am back in Scottsdale now.
God, you go to the most lefty places on earth. You know that?
Yeah, I got to be honest. I didn't really like Seattle all that much. I like Bainbridge. That was kind of cool. But Seattle itself, the city, I probably won't go back.
Yeah.
Hate it or anything. Nothing terrible. There's nothing wrong with it. It's just not my cup of tea.
You should write a travel book. That was a riveting review. You should write a book. I think people would pay good money for that kind of a review. Where can they get that kind of riveting analysis of a city?
I'll tell you, it's not the most attractive city on the planet. I mean, like, aesthetically, from a building and architectural standpoint, and then the population itself is not all that good looking. No offense to our listeners in Seattle.
Do we have any?
They all adopted that grunge look, and I don't like it.
Wait, they're still doing grunge? That was 35 freaking years ago.
Yeah, they're all grungy looking. I don't know why. Like, they didn't get the message that we've moved on as a society.
Wow. Like, everybody looks like Eddie Vedder circa 1993 out there?
Basically, yeah.
Man, flannel shirts and faded jeans, baggy jeans.
And big beards. I noticed that as well. They all have, like, these giant beards. Not the women, just the men.
Or just the men. Well, you know what it is? A lot of those guys are lumberjacks, so...
Or fishermen or something. They do give off a fisherman or lumberjack vibe.
A fisherman or lumberjack vibe? Yeah.
Yeah. Like these guys work with their hands. They're way more manly than we are.
Oh, well, everyone's more manly than you. I mean, that's not even a question. We all know that. It's not even...
I said both of us. I included all of us.
Oh, please. Listen, let me tell you about my friends at Bob's Little Sports Shop. Bob's is not just about selling firearms, okay? They are a full-service shop with years of experience and a commitment to helping customers become safe, responsible gun owners. You know, right now you can sign up for a handgun cleaning class, just $35, manufacturer-specific. Learn how to clean your firearms safely, step by step. Now, spots are limited, so pre-register today. And don't miss the next co-ed shooting event on October 12th. Now, this is a great time. It's perfect for beginners or experienced shooters. It's a fun, supportive way to learn or sharpen your skills. See, Bob's instructors are certified NRA and range safety officers, and they also offer renewal certifications. Always check to make sure your license is current, and they can make sure that you get your license renewed. No alcohol or drugs permitted on site, but if you want to have an event at Bob's, just reach out to them and they can host a bachelor party, bachelorette party, corporate event, or just to get together with friends. And if you do go to an event at Bob or one of their trainings, no firearms ID card or experience is required to attend. Listen, Bob's has been the go-to shop in South Jersey for 60 years, family-owned, with an incredible selection of firearms. You remember Bob's poems, right? Well, they're coming back, baby. Oh, yeah. Just go to bobslittlesportshop.com or call them at 856-861-7575, 881-7575. You visit them right on Delsey Drive in Glassboro. You've driven by their shop many times without even realizing it. It's a great place. It's my go-to for freedom and liberty, Bob's Little Sports Shop. This ad sponsored by Bob's Little Sports Shop.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Alrighty. Glancing at the YouTube chat, and a couple people don't know when I'm joking around, clearly. So I can't help you if you can't figure out a joke. People bust, I bust chops of people I like. If you can't figure that out, I'm not going to help you, that's for sure. But I did notice something with Chris Eppolito, and he pointed out something, and I'm going to confirm this because he's right. He said, I debated a guy on Facebook about Taylor Ham versus pork roll. He posted a letter from the Taylor family proving they were family friends, and he should know. At the bottom of the letter, Taylor pork roll. I actually met the woman from the Taylor pork roll company in the hallway outside the studio on one of those rare days that I was actually in studio. And I had a great chat with her. And she told me the reason why they had to call it pork roll, because the government of the United States of America, the Department of Agriculture, back in, like, I don't know, 1880, whatever the hell it was, they wouldn't let them call it ham. So that's why they had to call it Taylor pork roll. And so if you, and then it's at some point above Trenton, it seemed to break off where people below Trenton started calling it Taylor ham, or it's pork roll, and then people above Trenton started calling it Taylor ham, which is what they wanted it to be called. And then pork roll was what the government said they had to call it, which is why it's Taylor pork roll and not Taylor ham. Another interesting thing is that there was a brand, I think it may still be around, called the Trenton roll. And so some people, I've heard it refer to it as that, but not really, not a lot. But I have heard that before. But anyway, that's a true story. So it was government meddling is the reason why there to this day is the unsettled debate, pork roll versus Taylor ham. In case you're wondering, I found that fascinating. The government meddles in things, you know, all the time. They said, we can't call it ham. I don't know why. I guess maybe the ham lobby was very powerful back then. Big ham. You know, there's a, I mean, the ham industrial complex and their power in America, and they did not want any competition. I guess. I don't know. But that was what happened. This is why it says Taylor pork roll on the package. But they wanted it to say Taylor ham. And she gave me a shirt. She gave me a shirt. It was a red shirt with the Taylor ham, you know, the pork roll package, the whole thing. I always say this. If you want to know, because Central Jersey doesn't exist, if you want to know the dividing line in North Jersey and South Jersey, it's actually Long Beach Island. There's a line there where everybody south of that line roots for the Phillies and the Eagles. And then above that, it's the Yankees and the Giants or the Mets and the Jets. I'm telling you, there's a line. And the delis below that line will say pork roll. And then above that line will say Taylor ham. I'm telling you. Don't doubt me on this. That's the great dividing line. It's like the, you know what I mean? It's like the, what do you call it? Mason-Dixon line of New Jersey. I'm serious. Anyway, all right, a lot to get to as we continue along the show here. We've got some great guests joining us in Wildwood this coming Friday. I just got another person confirmed. I don't know if the announcement has been official yet, but there'll be another big name speaker who's coming out to join us in Wildwood this coming Friday. So I'm really, really excited about that. And that's going to be there on Friday. What you want to do to join us at this great rally is go to 1210WPHG.com and register. Because of security, because of what happened, you know, with Charlie Kirk, we want to make sure everybody feels very safe. The New Jersey State Police and the County Sheriff's Department, they're all going to be stepping up. The Wildwood Police Department, you will be safe and sound. But everybody does have to check in and go through security so that we can have a wonderful day and a peaceful day. And so just register, 1210WPHG.com. And I would love to see you there. We'd love to see you. We'll have some fun. Justin will be there. DeSantis won't be, so that's a good thing. You don't have to worry about running into him. Oh, you found it. You found the federal law, 1906.
Yeah, 1906, Food and Drug Act.
Pure Food and Drug Act. One of its main purposes was to prevent misleading or inaccurate labeling of food products. After the law took effect, federal regulators determined that Taylor's product didn't meet the legal definition of ham. Because, one, it wasn't made exclusively from the hind leg of a pig, as true ham must be. And two, it contained added sugar, spices, and preservatives, making it more of a processed pork roll than a traditional cured ham. 1905. Look at that. 1906, the Pure Food and Drug Act. Is that still on the books right now?
I can find out.
I'm curious about that. That's very interesting. Look at that, huh? The fascinating things that our government does with a waste of taxpayer dollars. All right, big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.